Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio in real time via ZipWhip landline texting at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
A local teacher will be the teacher on the trail at the Iditarod beginning in March, and we are going to talk to that teacher this morning. We welcome to the program Heidi Sloan, a fifth grade teacher at Ferry Farm Elementary and teacher on the trail. Heidi, good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for getting up and coming in and talking with us. But having a local teacher to be teacher on the trail, that is pretty cool.
Yeah, it's really a dream come true for me, for sure.
We're going to get into all that, but for those who aren't aware, talk a little bit about the Iditarod itself, because a lot of us you hear about it sometimes during the race itself, but I've learned a lot about it just researching you coming in and, you know, hearing some of your stories.
Yeah, the Iditarod is a dog sled race across Alaska. It goes from Anchorage to Nome, and it's a 1,000-mile race, but they kind of made it 1,049 because Alaska's the 49th state. So it started in 1973 because dog sleds were the mode of transportation in the mm-hmm. winter for years during the gold rush and mail routes and things. And on the Iditarod Trail itself was a mail trail. And Joe Reddington Sr. up there, whose picture is on Alaska airline planes now, he decided that we needed to revive the sled dog because snowmobiles were taking over and nobody was having dogs anymore. So he started this race. And so what they do is the people that run the dogs are called mushers. And there's usually between 70 and 80 teams that run that race every March.
Wow, that's a lot of people involved.
Yes.
And are they just from up there or do they come from all around the country?
All over the world, really. There's Norway and Sweden. We've had Japan. We've had Jamaica, even, of all things. And Canada and Alaska, of course, are the most represented.
1973 is kind of surprising because I would have thought that this went way back. But as far as something is well known, I mean, it's fairly modern.
It is. It's really modern and recent. But it took a lot to get it going, especially, you know, organizing it and getting prize money and that kind of thing.
The only thing I knew, and this had nothing to do with the Iditarod, but having seen when my kids were growing up, having seen the cartoon Balto.
Yeah.
which is a great story.
Yeah.
And I know there's a statue of him in Central Park, but is there anything up there about Balto?
Yeah, yeah. There's a statue in Anchorage, and then there's Togo, who was another lead dog on that relay team, and he's stuffed and mounted in the Iditarod headquarters. And so, yeah, they try to, because part of the route for that Serum Run in 1925 was along the Iditarod Trail, so they use the same route for the race part of
okay.
the route.
Yeah, that was idea because I knew Balto. There was Serum, and there was something involved in that. And it wasn't the race, but that was all I knew. Where does your interest in all of this come?
Well, I grew up in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, and so I've always loved snow sports and outdoorsy stuff. And so when I used to just hear about it, but when I found out that there were things you could incorporate into school, that's when I really got excited because being a teacher, March is a really boring month typically for us, mm-hmm. for teachers, because it's been a long time between breaks. So I started looking on their website and getting ideas and incorporating it into my classroom. And that's really where I got even more excited about it.
I guess you've been up to Alaska then a few times. So I know you've been, and for full disclosure, you and my wife went to Alaska.
Yes, she was my travel buddy. Yes.
For a couple of years ago. So that's where I started learning about this. And so you've been up there a few times.
Yeah. Susan went up with me the first summer in 16. We went to an educator's camp and we stayed at a dog kennel and helped with chores and everything and rode behind them on a four-wheeler. And then I applied for this position and I went up to interview last March. And so I got to see the race start and then I had to go up to kind of take the reins of this position in June again.
So you will be up there for this year for the race, and the race starts early March, right?
Right. I'm actually there for 5 weeks because when I first get there, I speak in Alaskan schools. And a fun fact is because I'm at Ferry Farm and George Washington is – that's where he was. I'm taking George with me up there. So when I speak in the schools, I'm going to wrap my lesson around George Washington and a dog that he found of one of his British enemies, but he returned the dog. So anyway, I'm kind of pulling at the dogs and George. And so I'm going to speak in schools. And then there's a junior Iditarod that is 14 to 17-year-olds the weekend before, and it's much shorter. But mm-hmm. I get to help with that. And then I'll speak at a teacher conference, and then the race starts.
We're going to get into, as we go along this morning, we're going to talk about things that you'll be doing here or sending back here and how your classroom here is going to benefit from all this. But that is interesting that you're able to bring George Washington there and then also bring Alaska here to Ferry Farm.
Right, right. Yeah, and one cool thing, this is the 20th year of the Teacher on the Trail program. So it's kind of a commemorative year, but kind of the torch that we pass every year is a sleeping bag. And some people think that's gross that we have shared the same sleeping bag.
I guess it gets washed.
And, you know, nobody sweats. It's like 40 below. So we all design a patch that represents our school and us and our state. And so George is on my patch driving a dog team between Alaska and Virginia. So I'm excited about it. Yeah, local artist Dale Glasgow helped me design it. So that's cool.
Has there ever been another teacher on the trail from Virginia? Or
no,
you first?
I think I'm the first from Virginia. Yeah.
Interesting. Uh-huh. Interesting. So have you for years kind of from afar been looking at the Teacher on the Trail program?
I have. I remember looking on their education website and thinking, really? They pick one person, that person actually is on the race. That would just be awesome. And I thought, you know, what? It's the world. What chance would I possibly have? But after going to that camp, I thought, well, it's worth a try. You know, I might as well try. You never know. And so this is definitely a dream that I've been thinking about for a long time.
Are you ever part of any, like, would you be on one of the sleds at all, or do you just watch from afar?
Well, they have two starts. They have the one in Anchorage on the 3rd of March this year, and so I'll be riding in somebody's sled that day. And so it's only 11 miles, but, you know, sort of parade-ish, and so I'll be going out of the chute with a team, so that's really exciting to me. So after that, I fly by bush plane from stop to stop.
Interesting. We'll get into all that as we go along. Heidi Sloan here this morning. She is a fifth grade teacher at Ferry Farm Elementary. She is the teacher on the trail for the Iditarod this year. There's just one of those teachers, and a local teacher will be there. More coming up on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Always online at newstalk1230.net. Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can weigh in on today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
Heidi Sloan here. She's a fifth grade teacher at Ferry Farm Elementary in Stafford, and she is the teacher on the trail this year at the Iditarod. It starts on March the 3rd. So if you're up there for about 5 weeks. The race itself, how long is the race? I guess it varies.
It does. It does. Last year, Mitch Seavey was the winner, and he came in, I think, 8 days, 20 hours or something like that. So about 9 days usually now. And they said, you know, I thought, well, why is it so much faster now? Because it used to be like 21 days it would take. And they said it's technology, a lot of it. They use that. They use, instead of cutting wood to build a fire, they use that heat stuff that just lights and burns. So things like that help.
The dogs themselves, that's got to be really interesting. And you saw them up close. I mean, these I know seeing some race horses and just how they are just they're just not your typical. When you see a horse that's a thoroughbred and runs in Triple Crown races, they're just so much different than a normal horse. Mm. I guess that's probably the same way that these dogs are not your garden variety dog.
Yeah, they're working dogs, but they're still very friendly and very socialized. I was shocked. I kind of expected them to be Call of the Wild-ish from Jack London, kind of mean, but they're not. They're very socialized, so very friendly. A lot of energy, though. You have to watch out because they jump and have a lot of energy.
I guess there's a lot of training for them to get ready for that many days and what they have to go through.
It is. The mushers say that they'll take them out on different length runs, and a lot of times they'll camp that night and not go home. Like, it could be a 50-mile run, and so they'll camp out that night and then run 50 miles back the next day. So, I mean, they have to keep – it's marathon-ish, so they have to keep building their endurance.
How big are they?
They're a lot smaller than I expected. I think we think of the big Siberian huskies, but these are mostly Alaskan huskies, which are mutts. So they're bred with they might have border collie or Irish setter in, or maybe even a little greyhound in them, plus husky. Okay. But this breed just loves to run and has a lot of endurance and energy and are fit for the northern climate. So I'd say, I don't know, 50 pounds.
Oh, wow.
They're not, they're not huge dogs.
I would have guessed a lot bigger kind of dog.
Yeah, they're very sleek, athlete-looking dogs.
Well, that's what I wondered. I was going to say, do they have that kind of just muscle and tone
and
everything?
Yeah, they are very toned, yeah.
So on the sled itself, how many dogs are there?
A musher can start with 16. And then by the end of the race, he or she has to end with 6. That's the minimum. And you can't add any dogs along the way. But if a dog gets a sore paw or just gets tired of running, you know, they can drop them, they call it, at a checkpoint. And then there's veterinarians and staff there to take care of it. And they'll fly the dog out back to Anchorage or somewhere for the handlers to take care of until the musher returns. And a fun fact about that is that there is a women's prison outside of Anchorage where inmates who have gotten responsible or gotten to be responsible get to take care of the dogs. So it's kind of a win-win there. If there's not a handler present, they take care of the dogs till they get back. So anyway, that's what happens if a dog can't run anymore.
Well, boy, and you think about these teams, and you work all year for this, and you really, I guess, you don't – it's – I guess – each of the people in the race, you want to make sure that you don't drive your animals too hard, because you don't want over the 8 days or so that you don't want to keep losing dogs.
Right, and they don't. It's not always, you know, you can't make a dog run.
Yeah.
Any of us who have dogs know they'll just sit down and not go. So they said, you know, it's not always that they're hurt or anything. Sometimes it's just attitude that they'll leave them. But really, there's a lot of that make it with 15, 16 dogs all the way to the end.
Mm, wow. Okay. Yeah. I wondered you said you have to have 7 at the
6
end.
At
or
the
6
end.
At the end. And as far as the teams go, it's just one person?
Right. And no one can help them except another musher. That's in the rules. So, like, if I were there and, you know, they were trying to feed their dogs, I could not go over and help feed them. That's a really strict rule that you have to be sort of on your own in this wilderness experience.
Boy, to take care of that many dogs.
Yeah.
And just the people themselves that are doing this have to have a knowledge of the great outdoors and the animals. And you never know, I guess, with the weather.
No, I mean, they've been caught in storms, and they'll tip the sled sideways and huddle all the dogs together and cover them all up with them with their sleeping bag. I mean, there's just horrendous stories out there, but the dogs are usually fine. It's the mushers that suffer because they don't get much sleep, because they have to feed the dogs, spread straw for the dogs at every time they stop. They have to check the dog's paws and everything and make sure all is well before they can sleep. So they're the ones that are having hallucinations along the trail because of sleep deprivation.
Yeah, no, I never even thought of that. You just think of the animals, but if you're doing that all by yourself, there's a lot goes into this.
Yeah, and there's a lot of planning that goes ahead. They have to carry certain things in their sled that's required, but they pack all these drop bags ahead of time that are shipped to all the various checkpoints that maybe an extra pair of boots or gloves or a lot more dog food, because you can't carry enough dog food on your sled for the whole trip. So they'll restock at each stop.
We talk about it being so cold and dealing with that, but I guess in some years I would think that the race has been affected just if it's too warm and you can't get a trail.
Yeah, that and the dogs overheat. That's even more of a danger with those dogs than that's hyperthermia is worse than hypothermia with the, so if it's not zero or below, they'll wait till nighttime to run, so it's not so warm.
The people that participate, I guess a lot of these people return, and I mean they come back year after year, and I guess in some cases you have families that that will get passed on.
Right, there's a lot of generational groups. The Reddingtons, Mr. Reddington, who started the Iditarod, he has 3 grandsons and a son, I believe, running this year in the race.
Wow.
So yeah,
how cool
it's
is
really
that?
Cool. Yeah, and it just becomes a way of life in those families.
Well, and I remember the first time I even remember that the Iditarod became a story was when Susan Butcher won, because I think she was the first woman to win.
Well, Libby Riddles was, but Susan won after. But she was very successful at it for sure. Yeah.
So proving that it's not just a male sport.
No, there's, I don't know percentage wise, but there's a lot of women. There's a couple identical twins that run it every year, and they stay together the whole time. And there's just a lot of neat aspects.
Because I guess they can help each other.
They can help each other.
Right? It's a family kind of thing. I guess the terrain up there. What's the terrain like that they have the race through? Because I know there's mountains.
There's the Alaska Range, and so that's treacherous because you're going through, these deep – I've seen pictures, and it's scary because they're going almost 45-degree angle down and over and around things and rocks. And then there's something called the Farewell Burn that burned out a long time ago, so there's stumps from trees. Mm. So they're trying to go over those, and if there's not enough snow, you're – hitting your sled on these tree stumps. So there's that. They're on rivers quite a lot. They'll run on the Yukon River. They'll actually be on the Bering Sea sometimes, frozen. And so there's a lot of varied landforms.
It's because I've watched Ice Road Truckers before, but it is fascinating, the terrain up there just how the temperature, how it can be, and just the brutal conditions.
I know. I mean, I talked to one of the other teachers on the trail, and I said, I was cold last year in Alaska. It was 10 below and windy the day the vets were checking the dogs, and we were outside. And it was really cold, and I was a little concerned. But I asked him, how cold did it get? And one teacher said, I don't know how cold it was, but I was at a checkpoint and I filled my water bottle and walked out of the building and walked across, not real far, to another place in town, and my water bottle was frozen solid. So I'm expecting 40 below in some places.
Do you have a special winter coat for this?
Yeah, the Iditarod provided my gear, which is great because being in Virginia, we don't need really warm gear. So I've got snow pants, I've got a parka, I've got really good mittens, I've got amazing boots that are like to negative 100, which I'd rather have that than have it not be cold enough. So they said if you wear what we tell you to wear, you'll be fine.
Okay. It'll be interesting when you come back mid-March when we have, like a 40-degree day and everybody's talking about, I'm so cold. You're going to be thinking, what?
I know last year when I went up to interview, I was one of 3 finalists, and so we all had to go up and speak at a conference to kind of be watched of how we interacted with people. And then we got to attend the Iditarod. And last year, because the temperatures and the trail were not safe, they moved the race north to start in Fairbanks. So the day that I came home, I was in Fairbanks that morning. It was 31 below zero. Mm. And I got home to Washington, D.C. late, early the next morning, and it was 70. So it had been 101 degree difference in one day for me.
Well, that has to be
it was
surreal.
Yeah, it was.
I guess to be there for 5 weeks, like you're going to be, you will get. At least I hope you get it. You are able to adjust to it.
Yeah. I prefer cool weather anyway. So I mean, I'm not that cold, I guess. But I've got a lot of like a head gaiter and things like that to help with my face too.
Heidi Sloan here. She's a fifth grade teacher at Ferry Farm Elementary in Stafford. She is the teacher on the trail at the Iditarod this year. And that's what we're talking about this morning on News Talk 1230 WFVA. When you were talking about the terrain and everything, I'm sure that along the trail and all, there's a lot of Alaskan history that they go through.
Yeah. This year's route, there's two routes. There's a southern route and a northern route. Because they've missed the southern route lately, and it helps the little towns economically.
Oh,
to
I
go
bet.
Through.
Never thought of that.
So they switched it to the southern route this year. So we'll actually go through the little ghost town of Iditarod, which was on the gold trail. So there were a lot of supplies in and out of the gold mines. So this route, I'll be heading through that. So yeah, a lot of the Russian influence too. Some of the towns have a Russian name because of the Russian influence.
And so there's actually a town, Iditarod.
Yes. Well, it's a ghost town now, but it was. Yes.
That's got to be just some of those little towns.
I know.
It's got to be just so interesting to see.
And I'm looking forward to seeing the schools. They'll probably not be in school because a lot of times they use the school or the community center for the mushers to sleep in or to eat in. But I want to see the schools. I mean, some of those villages only have like 8 kids in the whole school.
Wow.
So it's going to be really interesting.
Well, and I guess by the time when you have it in March, the days are getting longer.
Yes. Yeah. It didn't seem – it was a little shorter last year than Virginia, but not a lot. And I think that helps, you know, having it a little bit warmer in the interior.
Yeah. The Iditarod, our focus this morning, Heidi Sloan, a fifth grade teacher at Ferry Farm Elementary in Stafford, the teacher on the trail. When we come back, we'll talk about some of the education aspect to all of this and what she hopes to take to Alaska and send back to Virginia. More coming up on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's now 8:30.
Okay, listen, we got to talk about something.
Talk done right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Got an opinion about today's show? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Now, here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Fifth grade teacher, Heidi Sloan with us. She is at Ferry Farm Elementary, and she is the teacher on the trail at the Iditarod that starts March 3rd in Alaska. That is what we're talking about this morning. Heidi, for the, or should I call you Mrs. Sloan? I think this says...
Only if you're under 12.
Okay. One of the things is you're able, the education component, the teacher on the trail is, what a fantastic opportunity for a teacher, just because as you've talked about, what you're able to take and what you're able to bring back.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's what got me so excited. And so some of the things we do, and then the website has Iditarod.com. If you go to Teacher on the Trail tab, that's my writings, and I write lesson plans and posts and articles every week. But there's also just a wealth of educational lesson plans and ideas for teachers on the education link. But anyway, just an idea, you know, we'll start reading about it about 5 weeks out, and then we'll research the rules, which is fascinating. And then they're learning about a lot while they're doing that. So that coincides with writing and research and reading. And then they research the different mushers who have their bios on there, and then they choose a musher. So it's sort of like a fantasy football team, but they follow their musher, and every morning they check the website to see how far their musher's gone, and it's kind of a little competition. And sometimes we write the mushers letters, and they'll write back, and after the race. And then There's graphing temperatures. There's STEM projects like build a better sled, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So just a lot of really cool things.
Boy, and you think about the students in your class, even in your school, this will be something they never forget, or they'll always be. Whenever they hear about the Iditarod, it will be, you know, my teacher was
right.
There.
Yeah, last year's group was thrilled because they were there when I got the call that I had gotten it. So they consider themselves very special, and they are. And then this year's group, too, they're going to be – they've already been featured in some of my posts and things on the website. So they – that's my head there. So they're excited.
Well, and the other thing is just what they're going to learn about Alaska, the culture,
right.
You said, the weather, and just a lot of the things that we talked about. These are things that not everybody learns.
Well, and I think it's something new and different. You know, my goal as a teacher is to have my kids learn something new every day. And this is definitely something new. So it sparks their attention. And the reason I use the Iditarod as a tool is because it motivates kids and engages them in their learning. And that's half the battle as a teacher.
Well, it's so much in education. And it's whether it's school superintendents come through here or teachers or different guests we have different times, always talk about wanting to go beyond SOLs.
Definitely.
And boy, this is an exciting thing for that.
It is. And I can still justify why I'm doing it, because it does fit with all the math. It fits with the geography. It fits with the reading comprehension. So, you know, it's really easy, and it just really is something new and different, especially for kids from Virginia who hardly ever even see snow.
Well yeah, between that and just Alaska and the culture and things. You're talking about those little towns.
Right.
That's for kids around here to hear about, you know, a little town with maybe 8 kids in the school, we can't imagine it.
No, and they have never seen a stoplight, those kids, or a sidewalk. Huh. You know, or a McDonald's maybe, if they've never left their village. So it's just a whole different mindset for our kids to grasp.
Well, and for so many, unfortunately, we don't know a lot about Alaska. And if you were to ask a lot of people right now, tell me something about Alaska, people would say Sarah Palin, and that would be it. That would be all they would know.
I did drive past her driveway when I was up there.
Well, now that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But no, we don't know about, you know, our...
No, it's still sort of the remote part of the United States. And they like to think of themselves. They kind of call us the lower 48, and some of them are kind of diehard and don't want to know too much about us, but I'm still taking George Washington with me.
Yeah, no, that's a fantastic way that you're able to take that there and bring all you are back.
Right.
I would think that this is going to make you an even better teacher than you already are.
It has, because I've really had to stretch. And anytime you see your students getting so excited about learning, it makes you want to do even better.
Well, and it shows also just for teachers that you don't necessarily have to be the teacher on the trail, but how important it is. I know with teachers, there's continuing education, and teachers are always looking for different ways. You found this way, but others can find other ways too.
Oh, yeah, and there's so many grants out there where you can think out of the box and bring it back into your classroom for kids. So, yeah. There's no reason to just teach out of the textbook anymore.
So you'll be gone for five weeks. How will you stay in touch? Will you be able to stay in touch much with your class back here at Ferry Farm?
Yeah, a lot depends on the internet connections in the different villages, but I'm planning to. Yeah, I'm hoping to either FaceTime or Skype in, or at least send a YouTube video of myself so that I can keep up. And my school's really supportive. They want to do things as a whole school. So we have a committee together, and we're talking about ways to incorporate it. And hopefully I can do little live chats on the announcements sometimes.
Wow, wouldn't that be something?
Yeah.
You think about what you're able to do now as opposed to what you said, what, 20 years?
20, I know.
What they did, I guess back then, 20 years ago, the teacher went to the Iditarod, and then you heard from them again when they came back.
Yeah, there wasn't. The technology's changed tremendously. Yes.
Well, for both though the Iditarod and for the individual schools involved, this it's a great partnership.
It is, and another way that we're reaching classrooms all over the U.S. is through Skype. So during my planning period, a lot of days during the week, I'm Skyping with students from all over the U.S. I've had Utah and Michigan and Kansas, and so I'm giving a little talk on dog care of how the dogs are treated along the Iditarod, and it's just fascinating seeing students from all over the U.S. and their teachers, and I even have a school for the deaf that's coming up that I'm going to get to Skype with, and they'll have an interpreter on site, so
okay.
That would be really cool.
So it's you're really the teacher on the trail for the whole United States.
Right, and Canada. I have a Canadian class coming up too, yes. Yeah.
Wow, what a great opportunity. And I guess when the calendar flipped to 2018, I guess it really became real for you.
It did.
When
you,
the countdown really began.
It's a little scary. There's a lot to get done. You know, 5 weeks of lesson plans, get ready to be gone. But it's fine. It's very exciting, and I've had time to think about it. And so, yeah.
So what do you think you're most looking forward to?
I think seeing the behind the scenes, because, you know, I've been an observer the whole time. Mm-hmm. And so it's, I'm just really excited to see the checkpoints. I'm excited to be in a bush plane and flying over the Alaskan wilderness. And who will be in the plane with me? They call it the Iditarod Air Force. So it's all these volunteer guys that use their own planes. And they will fly the vets in and out of the checkpoints because the vets check the dogs at every checkpoint and any dogs that need to be flown. So I might be with some dogs and a vet or two and flying. And one pilot said that if the dogs start getting rowdy, he just nosedives. And I said, can you please tell me before you do that? Don't just nosedive. So anyway.
How do you – I guess they teach you how to deal with things just like the extreme cold, because that can affect phones and cameras and
right.
and just electronic things pretty yeah. severely, which we've some of us have seen over the last few weeks around here.
Yeah. They told me that with my camera to leave it outside, you want to leave it in the same temperature, because if you take your camera from 40 below inside, it's going to fog up, and then it'll be a long time before it will clear. And you can so she said either leave it outside in your backpack or put it in a gallon Ziploc bag, and that'll help it warm up slower and it won't get the condensation. So I thought that was really interesting. And then keep everything close to your body in pockets too that you don't want to freeze. And that's something the mushers struggle with, is how do they keep their drinks from freezing? Because they're out for hours. And so they'll have like little Capri Suns tucked in their pockets near their body. It'll turn out to be a little slushy, but they can still drink. And then they melt snow too.
When we were talking a little bit earlier, when you were talking about clothes, it reminds me of a couple of weeks ago, the folks at River Rock Outfitters were in, and they were talking about dressing for winter, and you can't just dress in layers, because if you start sweating, that creates problems.
Right.
And I guess you have to have special clothes to deal with this.
Right. They told me, you know, a base layer, then like a sweater, and then I've got a down little thin down jacket, and then my big parka. That'll be like when I'm out and out. So, yeah, it's a lot of layers. But you can peel and unsnap and stuff.
Yeah. Boy, you just hope it's not 40. But I guess you don't want it 40 below, although I guess in some way you do, just so you can talk about, have the dramatic stories. You don't want to come back and say, it was 15.
I know, where it was colder in Virginia.
Yeah.
But last year in the 31 below, I got up and I went to the got hot water, and I went out and did the test where you throw the water into the cold air, because at that time I thought, when am I going to be in 31 below?
Yeah.
And it just turned into steam. I mean, it was the coolest thing. It just evaporated and turned
into
steam.
So that really works.
It really worked. It was amazing.
When you were talking about getting around in the plane, I guess with a lot of the rural areas and the way roads, and depending on the weather, I guess that's the way a lot of the travel is done.
It is. They don't drive out in the winter. They fly out. So, that's a big deal up there. And we'll land on rivers, I understand, and And I've heard of landing in snowbanks where you step out and go really deep. So it's going to be an adventure for sure.
Well, I guess when you're there, you'll, as you can, be in touch with your school here, but also with a lot of these other schools that you've been in, that
right.
you're working with around the country.
Yeah, and every day I will be writing what's going on. So I'm sort of like a reporter for teachers and kids around the world while I'm there. So right now I write once a week, but then it'll be every day. So, yeah, so I'm hoping to do some video and a lot of pictures and a lot of reporting, talking to mushers, what's going on the trail, how's it going. So that kind of stuff.
It's a long time to be away. I'm sure you'll be thinking about home and getting messages of what's going back here. But that's still it's over a month.
It is. It's a long time to be gone. But my students' parents were very supportive, so I really appreciated that.
And I figured it would be more than just this is such a big deal that it's more than just your class that
right.
all of Ferry Farm, all Stafford County schools, I've got to be excited about this.
Yeah, and I'm having a professional development class and have teachers from different schools coming so that they can learn how to incorporate this. And I kind of a week from now, I'm going to post on Iditarod.com, Teacher on the Trail, get started, like a sledding checklist. How do I even get started in this? So I will have that posted on that site a week from Tuesday. So if any teacher who's interested in trying this out, I'll have some ideas for them.
So you're here for the Iditarod. Then will you go back again over the summer like you were last year?
Yeah, I'll take the infamous sleeping bag back, and then I will pass it on to the 21st Teacher on the Trail. And so they have this picnic where the mushers sign up in the summer. And so it's at that musher sign-up picnic that we transfer the reins, so to speak.
So how many trips to Alaska now have you taken?
Yeah, well, this will be time four and then five. So it'll have been five in 2 years, which is amazing. Because as a little girl, Alaska was my dream, too. I love self-sufficiency and the cold and the adventure. And so I had always wanted to go there. So this is just a dream.
Well, and I guess to have this a dream, to have this something that is, you know, just that you're so excited about. I mean, you had to grow up, your parents had to instill a lot of this love in you. And you grew up in the Upper Peninsula. It's not Alaska, but it's still kind of remote.
Yeah, it's similar. Yeah, remote and similar. And we would camp up in Canada as kids and as a family, and my dad was a moose hunter. So yeah, they loved Alaska, and they just taught me to love adventure, and they both were rooting for this long before I even decided to apply. So yeah.
Well, you love adventure,
yes.
and you're going on one.
Yes.
Heidi Sloan, a fifth grade teacher at Ferry Farm Elementary here. She is the teacher on the trail, for and representing all of us, and really a local face to the Iditarod this year. We will wrap this up when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can weigh in on today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
Ferry Farm Elementary fifth grade teacher Heidi Sloan here this morning. She is here because she is the teacher on the trail for the Iditarod, I've said it over and over again, Heidi. It's a great honor, and really, when we start seeing Iditarod stories and we see them all along, I mean, there's a local face to this race this year.
Yeah, I'm going to represent Fredericksburg up there.
Which is just terrific. What's the response been from some of your other teachers? Are they envious?
Not too many are envious. I mean, they think it's great that I want to do it, but they don't like cold. One teacher quipped and said, I could be teacher on a cruise ship and write lesson plans from a cruise ship.
Yes.
That's more their thought. But they're excited for me, and they're excited to get on board for this race and do stuff with their kids.
I just know that remember being a kid and whenever your teacher would do something, because so often you look at teachers as just – You just, they're teachers. But to have a teacher actually doing something like this and to go to something like this, like I said, I mean, these kids and these families and the Stafford County school system and the school system in this area, it's just something that it's everybody should be proud.
Thanks. Yeah, I'm really excited to bring something new to this area that they might not have known about much.
No, I certainly would not have. And just as you talked about the dogs and their size, and I guess you think about it, and the mushers themselves, these dogs it's like their family, I guess.
They are. The mushers, the vets check them at every checkpoint, but the musher always knows if there's something wrong right from the start. But they love their dogs so much. They're just like family, and they take really good care of them. So these dogs just love to run. They say that when they get to the end in Nome, they rest, and then they look at the musher like, okay, how far are we going today? You know, they've just run 1,000 miles, but they're ready to go again.
Well, do they, the dogs themselves, do they run some, are they able, if they're physically able and I guess young enough to run in several Iditarods, or is one enough?
Oh, yeah. They'll have the same dogs. Yep. They keep going because they remember the trail. Once they've been on it, if they said it's uncanny, they remember. So, yeah.
Wow, interesting. So, again, if people want to follow what you're doing, what's the best way to do that?
If you go to Iditarod.com, and over on the right, there's the Teacher on the Trail tab. That's me. And so if you click on that, you'll see the articles and the lesson plans I've written. But you can also go to the Education tab and get all sorts of great, great lesson plan ideas.
So it's Iditarod.com/...
Well, there's a tab, Teacher on the Trail.
There's a tab. Just go to
Teacher on the Trail or Education tab.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that'll, and the race itself starts March 3rd. It could last anywhere from 8 days on.
Right. Yep. Mm-hmm. Usually the last person comes in by 14, day 14.
Okay. And you said there's something like 80-some teams?
Yeah. I think this year, I just counted this morning, there's 72, but sometimes people come in. So it's like 900 dogs. At the start, it's a lot of dogs.
How do they start? I guess the trails can't be that
no,
wide.
No, they're not. They do send snowmobiles through and they put markers down, but sometimes the wind blows them over. And then in the streets of Anchorage, this is interesting, they'll dump snow the night before because, you know, you don't have snow on your streets in a major city. So they bring in truckloads of snow
for the start.
And then they scoop it all up and take it out the next day.
And I guess the people, the villages, when they go through, it's a big deal
it
for them to go through.
Deal. Yeah, it is. It's a big deal. Yeah.
And you're going to get to go to schools up there
and
talk about things and take George Washington with
you. That's right. Exactly.
Well, good luck. Have a great time. And we'll be posting pictures on Facebook while you're gone and keep track of you and get you back in here when you get back.
Thanks so much.
Again, it's Iditarod.com and look for Teacher on the Trail.
Exactly.
Heidi Sloan, a fifth grade teacher at Ferry Farm Elementary in Stafford, the Teacher on the Trail for the Iditarod. That's it for Town Talk. See you in the morning on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.